Hello, I'm Anna.
And I'm Bethany, and we're trying to review every Jane Austen adaptation ever.
Welcome to Austen Translation, the only Jane Austen podcast that covers the character's star signs.
That we know of. Shock horror! So this week we watched episode 3 and 4 of the 1995 Pride and Prejudice with Colin Firth.
The Big C.
I think the Big C is Lady C, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, technically, maybe he's the... No, okay.
I was going to say, Collins is the little C.
Yeah, little C.
Anyway, Ryan Palmer. Right.
I immediately was like, that's due to dick size, isn't it? Mr. Darcy's definitely got a big dick. I'm just saying, and little C, I mean, we know why that is.
Oh, God.
We're already off to a ruined start.
Apparently right, he does. He definitely has a dick.
You know he does. He's got big dick energy.
Yeah, he does. He has big dick energy. Episode 3 opens with Kitty announcing Charlotte is engaged. I've written Charlotte is engaged to Charlotte.
Charlotte's engaged to Charlotte. The first gay wedding in a Jane Austen book. We love to see it. Even though she's marrying herself.
So Kitty announces Charlotte is engaged to Collins. And then I wrote, Lizzie is shocked and repulsed.
Lil C. And she's like, I'm not romantic. I never was. Lizzie's like, what the fuck? And she's just like, you know who I am.
Yeah, Charlotte kind of calls her out as well. She's just like, I'm old. I don't have many choices. Why?
I'm old as fuck. Like, what am I going to do?
I'm so old. I'm ready to at the age of 27.
Yeah. And she's just like, yeah, like, you've got options. Some people don't have options. You're attractive. I'm not very attractive. Got to get, you know, get what I can get.
Yeah.
And then Jane, I've just written Jane knows what's up, because Jane takes Charlotte's side and she's like, you need to consider differences in situations, because Lizzie is like, she just thinks everyone can live this like idealized life that she's demanding for herself.
Yeah, that's Jane basically tells her to check her privilege.
Check your privilege. Cancelled, Lizzie Bennet.
Her pretty privilege. I mean, I wrote that and then I was like, she doesn't really have class privilege, but I mean, maybe...
Well, it's interesting because if you think about it, right, Lord Lucas was like he was just like an ordinary dude. He didn't have like a title or anything, or he wasn't even a gentleman, I don't think. And then he was kind of raised and he was given his title.
Mm.
And so they're like really proud of their kind of the title and stuff. But then if you think about it, like, Lizzie's dad is just like, he's a gentleman. And like, they do have some connections. I don't know what the Lucas's connections are, but it's like, it's interesting because in a way, like, Lord Lucas seems like he's like higher up the ranks than the Bennets, but I don't know if he is really.
Yeah,
I mean, like, technically he's like new money, isn't he?
Yeah, this is what I was thinking, actually. Like, not to get super theoretically, like, political. I don't know what
you're... Oh, but I love that to do that.
That's my favourite hobby. But, like, you know how you have this, like, you say old money and new money? And then, like...
Like the Great Gatsby.
Yeah, Lizzie Bennet is very much an old money type thing. And I think this gives you, like, you're born with a certain level of... confidence, but
yeah, you don't have to be scrappy. I think there's a level of scrappiness that new money still retains.
Yeah, like I say confidence, but I think it's more an entitlement that you kind of,
you're just like, well, I have a safety net and I've always had a safety net. You're not like,
yeah,
you know, there's a sense of, yeah, like I am always going to get what I need.
Yeah, she is like that classic trope, because Lizzie's family is more bohemian and much more like, he likes his reading, he, Mr. Bennet does his vocation. He's never had to...
Yeah, and you'll see that before. Actually later with Mariah Lucas.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we'll get into that later on.
But yeah, I just think it's very interesting that it very fits into that trope of they live this old money bohemian lifestyle, and Charlotte Lucas is very aware that it's all, what's the word, on a balance, that's not the right word, what's the phrase?
Well, it's because it's acquired, and then the funny thing is that the Bennets also know that in classic old money style, they're going to lose everything to Mr. Collins eventually.
Yeah.
In a kind of Schitt's Creek type way.
Yeah, it's like it dwindles away over time.
Well, and it's like Sir Walter in Persuasion. It's that, like, you become so self-assured that everything's going to be fine. You get accustomed to a certain lifestyle, and then it all gets pulled under, out there. Can't say words. The rug gets pulled from under you.
Yeah, and I'm true, but I also think there's a currency in connections, which I think the Bennets have better connections than the Lucases, and that's the thing with, like,
well, that's the thing, because they have social capital.
Yeah, just like Sir Walter in Persuasion. He's not, he knows
people yeah.
take over his, it's that classic thing of how it's like expensive to be poor or whatever. Like, when you're rich, you've got these people who can sort it out for you. Like, he knows someone who can move into his house for a bit or whatever and pay off that thing. And then, like, where if, like, and the Lucases don't. They don't have that safety net of people being able to help them out.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get off that.
Some long cultural analysis.
Jane receives a letter from Caroline that Bingley is leaving and not coming back.
Yeah.
That
savage.
Self-explanatory.
Yeah. Says what is on the tin. I've just written here, the men ride home on horses because they're men. They can't go in a carriage because that's namby-pamby girly nonsense.
Yeah, it's true. Also, in this letter, Caroline has no chill about wanting to marry Mr. Darcy. She just mentions it. She's like, this is excellent for me and Mr. Darcy.
She's so unsubtle.
I love it so much. Also, Hero wrote, okay, hear me out, in this adaptation I'm more like Jane and you're more like Lizzie.
Maybe,
because I just think Jane is very matter-of-fact about her situation, which is something I do, where Lizzie gets, like, quite angry and wants to fight things.
But she ends up with big dick Mr. Darcy, so,
yeah,
so this who's the winner in this?
Yeah,
it's me.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, it's not an insult. I'm just saying, like, because we always say I'm Lizzie, I was like, I think, never thought I'd hear my... self say the words, I'm more of a Jane. Because I'm very like, this is my life now.
Mm-hmm.
And Lizzie's like, you've got to fight.
So Lizzie is like very optimistic about Bingley. Jane's like, meh, you know, he's gone forever. Bye, Bingley. I'm just going to lie here and be sad. And well, no, she's more like, oh yeah, I'll get over it, I'll be fine. And then she's like that meme of the dog sitting in a burning building. It's just fine. But Lizzie's just like so ridiculously, like almost cruelly optimistic about Bingley, because she's like, he'll be back within the week. Like,
yeah.
Like, you stop saying shit to people that you don't know is true, and you're just so sure that their, you know, their possibly unrequited love is going to return to them. Like, just building people's expectations up, Lizzie.
Yeah. But the next note I have is Lydia and Kitty make fun of cloth and suggest it for Mary. Lol.
Oh yeah, they're out in town. There's just like a whole, there's a theme, which is that Lydia just loves ugly shit, and it kind of reminds me of you.
Yeah.
Because Lydia sees something and she's like, that's so ugly, I have to have it.
Yeah, she's,
which is something
like
the
that as well. She's just like, this is horrific, it'll be perfect for Mary.
But also she buys bonnets, like later on she's like, ah, oh, I saw this bonnet and I was like, that's so hideous, but I bought it anyway because I just thought,
yeah,
it's there.
And then
the soldiers arrive in town,
notably Wickham.
And then they're like talking. I think they, as always, sort of Wickham and Lizzie walk off and start talking.
Before that happens, though, Lydia and Kitty are like really obnoxious about him being there and are like really embarrassing. And this is the first time Elizabeth literally is like, will you keep your voice down? He is so embarrassed about them being embarrassing in front of Wickham. she's got the hot man.
Yeah, she is so horny for Wickham.
Yeah, like she is properly like, oh god, I actually really, like, you could just, I just thought that was interesting because she is like, she does get embarrassed by her family, but she doesn't normally stop them.
Yeah. I just written here, he says, with you, I must be entirely open. I can't remember what they're talking about. Oh, it was because he didn't go to the Netherfield ball. And he's like, oh, yeah, I told people that I had to leave. But he was like, with you, I must be entirely open. I thought that it would be displeasing to more than myself or embarrassing to more than myself if I went.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, he's another fucking blatant liar.
Yeah,
just absolutely will say anything.
Yeah, it is mad how you can. I just think it's such a power. Wickham comes to tea and meets the parents.
Mr. Bennett sees through Wickham as being a little bitch. So
really? I didn't get that. I wrote he is probably whining and dining her. Like, you can see Lizzie falling for him.
Yeah, no, but I think Mr. Bennett says, I think maybe this is after.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, because Lizzie tells Mr. Bennett what Wickham has said about Darcy. No, she's saying about how rude Darcy is and how Wickham's told her all this stuff. And then he's like, I think Darcy's just your average rich man who's used to having his own way, and that's his only fault. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, but also Mr. Bennett's like, oh, he does love to talk about his misfortunes, doesn't he?
Oh,
he was so happy to tell us all of his misfortune. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, Mr. Bennett sees through.
Yeah, he does.
But he also does nothing about it because he just doesn't give a shit.
No, he really doesn't. In a kind of like sociopathic way.
Yeah, man.
He just is like, this is horrendous for you all. And then goes back to his.
How unfortunate.
But, yeah, he basically, like, Lizzie's slagging off Mr. Darcy, and he's like, I think Mr. Darcy is just, like, your average rich man, and that's just how rich men act. And then she's like, and then, yeah, he says the thing about Wickham.
And then he's like, well, I hope that if you do like him, Lizzie, he fucks you over, basically. He's like, next to being married, a girl likes to be crossed in love now and again. He's a good guy to fuck you over.
Yeah, basically. I think he's just like, he's a guy to make your days interesting, really.
He just doesn't give a shit about people being hurt.
This is where Mrs. Bennett says, you've done nothing to deserve Wickham as well. I can't remember when.
Mrs. Bennett just truly thinks that Lizzie is the shit on her shit.
She really does. I think that happens while Wickham is still there. Like, I can't remember when she says that. But I'm like, what the fuck? Also, at this point, I realised Lizzie wants to be that interesting person that marries a poor man for love.
Yeah.
And, like, Wickham fits this bill for her. So, and then we get to that bit about Jane where she's just like, well, like, Lizzie's... This is why I think it's me and you, because you're like, Lizzie's trying to get Jane to tap into her emotions. And Jane's just like, it's fine. I'll be fine. I will push this down and forget about it.
Repressed.
She literally was like, soon I will forget about this and it will be like it's never happened. I think she literally says that. And Lizzie's just like, aren't you sad?
Tap into your feelings.
So then Mrs. Bennett's brother and his wife arrive, the gardeners. And this is where we find out Mrs. Bennett's first name. Is Fanny.
I remember vaguely hearing that and then being like, what?
Yeah.
Do we actually know, or have they made this up?
I didn't actually look it up because research, who is she?
I don't know her.
Her brother is called Edward as well. I don't know why they put these details in, they're not needed. They're going to the Phillips that evening, which is her sister.
Oh yeah.
And she's like, oh, we could have to socialise all the time, but I'd much rather stay inside. They go to the Phillips. I've written, Jane is so pathetically sad right now. I've also written, Lydia is like the Regency version of taking over the aux cable.
She is.
She is.
Because she's like, Mary, play us something fun.
Yeah, no, she literally goes over to where Mary's playing piano and poor Mariah, Charlotte's sister, is having to, like, help her. And then she just goes over there and she's like, Greenstock, now!
Lydia loves saying Lord, I've written here. Because, yeah, she just, every time she, like, exclaims something, she'll be like, Lord.
Yeah.
Something or
other. And it's so, like, distinctive as well, actually.
Yeah, no one else says it.
They're just in someone's house as well. Like, they're not at a ball now. And they're just doing really formal dancing in the dining room.
That's what they do. I swear, like, this is the thing. It seems like in Jane Austen novels, people will sometimes just be at each other's houses and be like, let's dance, but we have to do it in this very specific, regimented fashion.
Yeah, I mean, there was no dirty dancing back then.
Grinding.
Imagine. Wickham, oh my god, a dirty dancing Pride and Prejudice mashup. Sorry.
No one puts Lizzie in a corner.
Wickham is dancing with Mary King, who has a fortune of 10,000 a year.
Lord Lucas loves watching dancing. He's just so excited. Like, when we're at the Netherfield Ball, he, like, goes up to Lizzie and Darcy and is like, oh, I love watching you guys dance. I hope I'll be able to see you dancing again when Jane and Bingley get married. And then, like, he's watching dancing at Mrs. Phillips's and he's just like, oh, I love to watch people dance. I'm like, all right, Lord Lucas.
Yeah.
Bit weird.
Yeah, he's a bit of a creep. Yeah, so we hear about Wickham dancing with a rich young lady. So yes, Jane goes off to London and, like, they're just showing the passing of the seasons while someone's wittering on.
I just want to say about Miss King, you know, Wickham's lady.
Floozy.
I think it was Lydia who was like, she's not very pretty. And I'm like, she literally is, though. Like, Google her.
A freckled,
nasty freckled little thing. But, like, she's actually a very attractive woman. And I'm just like,
we'll get there in the end. Jane goes to London.
She has another huge cape.
Yes, she has a cape. The seasons are changing. Someone's wittering on. I think it's Lydia. You're just hearing Lydia talk incessantly while the seasons change. She writes to Caroline and Caroline writes back.
And is like, yeah, I'll come visit you some morning. Yeah. Not going to specify which. So then Jane waits at home every morning for 3 weeks.
3 weeks!
Until Caroline visits her.
3 weeks!
Fucking Jane, move on. Just go out and do something in London.
Caroline comes to visit with Mrs. Hurst finally and basically says that Mr. Bingley knows she's here, but doesn't want to see her. She doesn't say he doesn't want to see you, just...
He don't give a fuck.
Basically, yeah, she does. She's just like, there's more interesting things for him to be doing.
I don't give a fuck, bitch. I don't give a fuck about you or anything that you do. That's what he says.
And then here I wrote, I zoned out and there was a carriage and Mariah and Lizzie are on their way to visit Rosings. I genuinely just zoned out from what was happening.
So she's like walking along and waving a branch and then she bumps into Wickham. He's like, oh no, Lizzie's like, I hear that you're marrying Miss King. And he's like, oh yeah, I hope you're not upset with me. And she's like, handsome young men must have something to live on as well as the plainer ones. And it's just really awkward.
I miss that completely. I did. That's a key point.
Yeah. He's just like, oh, well, I just want you to know. And then I think they just get cut off. Like, I think he's just sort of like, oh, well, I hope that we can still be friends. And there's just, like, this tension because they're both like, oh, well, I quite fancy you still. But Miss King's rich, so what are you going to do?
Oh, God. But she's so matter-of-fact about it as well, isn't she?
Yeah, and he's just like, oh, God, this is terrible.
Even though she gave Charlotte a hard time for doing the same thing.
Yeah, but like that's the thing about Lizzie. She's just like, she's not one thing for one person and then the completely different thing for her.
Yeah.
But, so then she's visiting, Mr. Collins and Charlotte at his
Rosings. With Mariah.
Yes, with Charlotte's sister Mariah and, he goes on about how the staircase is eminently suitable for a clergyman in his position. There are several staircases at Rosings, in fact. Observe that closet, Cousin Elizabeth. What do you say to that? And she's like, well, that is a closet.
Yes, also, just before this, because I think their parents are with them as well, like Mr. and Mrs. Lucas, Lord and Lady Lucas. Because Lord and Lady. Lord Lucas goes on about what a brilliant match Charlotte and Collins are. And then he remembers that Lizzie's there in the carriage. And he's just like, oh my God, aren't they perfect together? Isn't it great? It's such great fortunes for this family. Charlotte's all set up. It's all brilliant. And then like,
and then he's like, oops.
And then Lizzie's just staring at him like, although why would Lizzie care? I'd just be like, go along.
She turned him down.
Yeah, just agree with him. Just be like, yeah, it is good for Charlotte.
But yeah. And then Lizzie and Charlotte sort of talk privately, and Charlotte's like, I make sure that Mr. Collins spends as much time in his garden as he can. So basically they never see each other.
Yeah. The way she's like, so he does this, and then he has to go to Lady C's house like several times a day. I can't remember the name of her house now.
Rosings
is where he lives, isn't it? Oh no, he lives in the parsonage on Rosings.
Yes.
So he has to go to the big house, the main house, the manor.
Yeah.
Like several times a day, and then he really loves his gardening, and then she has her own room where she does stuff in. never see each other. Invited to Lady C's, and it's very exciting, and Mr. Collins is losing shit.
I've just written, the first proposal is coming. I think I was way early, but I was just like, it's happening. It's going to happen.
Early. You were so
I know, but I said it like halfway through. I was watching it with my mum and her cousin, and I was just like, it's coming. The thing's happening. And then they were like, I think my mum's cousin was like, what is it? And I was like, it's happening. And she was like, what? Is that it? And every time something happened, she'd be like, is that the thing? And I'm like, no.
You really didn't tell me on that. There's like a...
I know, we're just... That's the only... I mean, I was like, it's going to happen in this episode. But, So, I think Lizzie's walking in the woods and Darcy, like, is on a horse. No.
No, you've skipped it. So Mr. Darcy has arrived at Rosings at the same time that Lizzie's been invited. This is where I'm going to just pull it out and say Judy Dench is a better Lady Catherine.
I mean, she's just made for Lady Catherine.
Yeah, it's really where I think this Lady Catherine has too much of an old lady vibe about her, like almost fragile. Yeah, I think Lady Catherine is domineering.
She just, yeah, she's a bad
imposing figure. So yeah, so not... If we're going to compare the two, like, favourite Pride and Prejudice, I think this is one time where Judy Dench, well, not one time Judy Dench is better. She's better in everything she does. But one time the 2005 version got the casting better, maybe. But, yeah. Mr. Darcy has arrived at Rosings.
Darcy crosses paths with someone in the woods because he's like, I've written here, they cross paths in the woods and Darcy rides off trying to make his horse go faster. Like,
yeah,
fuck!
That does happen when she walks in a field, I think.
I think he's like, he's kind of doing that thing with his leg where he's trying to make the horse go faster. And it's just like, oh.
He's staring at Lizzie like a creeper.
Oh, yeah. So, no. And then Colonel Fitzwilliam and Lizzie play a really shit duet on the piano.
I love that fucking friendship so much.
Yeah, they are. They are like... besties.
Yeah, they're on the same wavelength, I think, as well. Like, they're just banter.
Yeah. And then Lady C offers Lizzie to come and practice at the back room of Rosings if she ever wants to get better at piano.
Yeah, and then he goes over and just stares at her while she's playing piano.
Yeah, he's just glowering. He just likes to come on the glower.
And then she literally wrecks him.
She's like, I'm not afraid of you. And then they have like some sexually tense banter.
Yeah, she says that quote that everyone loves to put on Instagram. The one where she's like, every attempt to intimidate me, my courage only rises.
Oh yeah. But then she's like, oh, like, what are you doing? Like, being so cold and quiet, and he's like, oh, I don't converse easily with strangers. And she's like, well, I'm not very good at the piano, but I've always figured that's my fault because I didn't take the time to practice. And it's like, boom! And he's like, oh, dang, you're right.
Yeah.
And then Lady Catherine from, like, across the room is like, what are you talking of? I need my share in the conversation.
It is genuine. She's like, what are you speaking about? Come here so I can hear you. And then I've got, she walks in a field like a manic pixie dream girl.
She's just always walking in fields.
Then Darcy visits Rosings, where she is.
That's so fucking awkward.
I wrote, he thinks she's hard.
He just goes and he's like, hi, yes, this is a nice house. Right, I'm going to go. And then he just leaves and she's like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, man, it's bad. Also, he does say about how close Charlotte is to her parents, and she's like, hardly. And then basically there's an implication that she'd be fine living away from
her. Yeah, he was like, well, I suppose it's who your family are, or like who you are, because I'm guessing that you wouldn't want to live close to your parents, being like, well, if you married me, you wouldn't be very close to your parents.
Yeah, he's kind of sussing out whether she'd move away. And I'm like, Jesus, Darcy.
He's really not giving up on it, is he? And then
she has a chat with Fitzwilliam.
Yeah, and I've just written, okay, but Colonel Fitzwilliam is a babe. I'm not sure why, but true.
He is. I think they have got better banter and better chemistry.
I know, I was like, what if she just got with Colonel Fitzwilliam, because he does seem to really like her.
Yeah, like they just seem like they, I mean, maybe we're just like doing that thing where people are friends and we're like, what about lovers?
What about lovers? No, but they're like playing duets. He's like waiting for her, because I think Mr. Darcy like went off or something, and Fitzwilliam was staying for ages to see her, and then she came back and they were all gone.
Yeah. So he then accidentally tells Lizzie that Darcy broke Bingley and Jane up, and she is literally ill with the horror.
Horrific.
She's physically ill with the horror. He has to walk her back because she's so...
Yeah, she's like, swoon. And then that she goes home.
This is when it's actually happening.
Oh, yeah, it's happening. Mr. Darcy, like, walks over to the house again and he strides in all breathless. He's like, there's a lot of Colin Firth sort of breathing heavily, just being like... And so he walks in.
So she starts the proposal.
I'm Lizzie just like, oh my fucking god, wow, yikes, is what I've written here.
Like, she's so mad at him. Like, so very mad at him. And I quite enjoy this, because there's a genuine hatred.
She's so like, how very dare you?
Yeah. And then, so he does that classic proposal. And then what I like is she's like, I will not be grateful for men's attention.
Yeah.
He's just like, no.
And he's like, what the fuck is going on? Am I actually being rejected right now? Like, he just never in his little brain was like, this is gonna, like, he just never for a moment.
Yeah, he didn't consider it.
I just wrote, he just keeps digging the hole. She absolutely destroys him. He leave.
Yeah, literally. Like, he just like walks away after
he's just like, oh, and he's just so sad. He's just like, oh, like he's still reeling. You can just see it in his eyes. Like, his entire life is flashing before his eyes. He's just like, oh god, I don't know. Who am I? Where am I?
Because
she's just eviscerated him.
Yeah, she really has. Like, she's completely knocked the wind out of him. but the end. Episode 2.
So Mr. Darcy looks like he might cry because Elizabeth has just eviscerated him.
Yeah, but also, he's absolutely reeling from her owning him.
He's
but,
just a glass case of emotion.
But then he, like, storms off. The rage builds in him.
Yeah, and he's just like, muttering.
What I really enjoy is he goes back to his house and Fitzwilliam is there and he's like, Darcy, old pal. And he's just like,
not now, Fitzwilliam.
And Lady Catherine is like, is that Darcy? Tell him to come in here. And he's like, I literally cannot right now. Like,
cannot with you right now.
Like, he's literally like, he just goes to Fitzwilliam, you gotta make an excuse. Like,
Fitzwilliam being the MVP that he is, he's like, okay. And he just lets it go.
This is what I thought was really interesting. So obviously this is when he starts composing his letter about his side of the story of what happened with Wickham.
Mm.
And I'd forgotten about this. Because we see a baby Darcy in Wickham.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like, because when he's posting this letter, we see it visualised on the screen while he says it.
Yeah.
So obviously, we see a baby Darcy in Wickham and we find out...
playing in the garden.
Yeah, they're fishing in the lake, like, the best little pals.
And they're besties. And then it cuts to, like, when they're both in university. Darcy's wearing his full graduation.
I know!
And I'm like, are you wearing this every day? Have you just been to a lesson? Have you just graduated? What is the deal?
This is what I was thinking about, because they mentioned that they went to Eton and then they went to Cambridge. And I know in some private schools, they make you wear like a full gown.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was the old, but I swear only teachers wear that.
But definitely you don't need the mortarboard.
You don't need it. I think Darcy just was like, he wanted to just go the full.
I assumed it was at his graduation. I was like, there's no...
But why would he be like walking from his graduation into a room where Wickham is making out with some random woman? Like, why would he be like, oh, I've just graduated. I'm just going to go back to the lodgings in which I live.
I assume he shares with Wickham.
Yeah, he's sharing with Wickham, but why is... Unless, okay, so the only way this could make sense is if Wickham skipped his own graduation to go make out with a girl, which is feasible, but, like, it's not even explained.
I think, so they've graduated, yeah, and then, like, Darcy's been hanging out, chatting to pals, he's just making his way back, and obviously as soon as Wickham graduated... he's getting some nookie. Is nookie an appropriate term anymore? I don't know. Yeah, that's what I kind of... I assumed it had to be graduation day. Like, why is he in the fall?
I don't know, but I just... Honestly, I just don't even know.
I did scream when that happened. Like, oh my god.
I also just, like, while Darcy's sort of muttering to himself, he just randomly... he's, like, just walking along and then just... He hears about Wickham and he's like, at least in that I can defend myself. And I'm like, who are you talking to?
I know. He's so, like, enraged. He tells the story of Wickham being a little ladies' man. And then, obviously, the whole story of him.
Okay, but just on our former conversation, how big is Wickham's dick?
I think average.
Yeah, just an average size.
But I think he's one of those, like, is the right word, like a Lothario? What's that?
That rings a bell, but I'm not sure.
You know those guys that you get where you can't believe they're getting as many women as they are?
A man who behaves selfishly and irresponsibly in his sexual relationships with women.
Oh my god, perfect. He's a Lothario. Yep. I think it's from Shakespeare. Look at me. Cultured bitch. Yes, I think he's like, you know those average guys that clean up because they're confident?
I mean, I think that confidence is the kind of key to most things in life. If you're confident enough to just believe that you deserve something, then often you convince other people that you also deserve it.
That's what I think. It's not manifestation. What's that thing that Jim Carrey always talks about?
The rule of attraction, the law of attraction.
Yeah. I think it's just confidence.
George Wickham practices the law of attraction.
He really does. And then obviously we hear the story about how he lured Darcy's 16-year-old sister, Georgiana.
She's fucking 15. And I'm like, he's so creepy. He's like,
I called him a pervert. He is a pervert. Like, he is. Because also, so then I also, to clarify, I think the reason he kind of goes after Georgiana is for her fortune.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Like, he's not just a pervert.
No, he's a Lothario.
Yeah, yes. He's literally, look at me. I'm so proud.
Yes.
I'm so proud of that. I really am.
Wickham's like, oh, yeah. Lydia's 16 and Lizzie's like, no, she's 15. And then we find out that Georgiana's also 15 and is like, just like Lydia, he's a paedophile.
He is.
And he loves 15-year-olds. For some reason, that's the age that he just specifically likes.
Yeah, it's history repeating itself. But with Lydia, she doesn't even have a fortune. So with Lydia, I think it's even more sinister because...
Yeah, I think he was
getting out of her. Like, he's not getting any financial gain from it. He doesn't want to marry Lydia. Spoiler. In the playback where he discovers them, he just happens to be, like, travelling back early and just happens to be at the spot on the beach that they're meeting.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just... And then it's just so awkward. Like, Georgiana, like, runs to him. I'm not entirely sure, like, what Georgiana thought was happening. Were they going to get married?
Yeah, I think she did. She thought they were going to go get married.
Yikes.
So she, like, immediately told him. And was like, we're going to go get married. And Darcy was like, what?
No, you are not.
You are not going to get married.
And then we get another sneak peek of wet Mr. Darcy. Because he splashes his face. Because he's so, you know, het up with emotion.
Yeah.
It's just like, they really just go, like, there's such a theme of Mr. Darcy and water. And I don't know. Like, it doesn't happen really in any other adaptation. Other than obviously Lost in Austin, because they're playing on that. But I don't know why they chose that. I mean, other than it was hot.
Yeah, I think... Because, yeah, like the meme says, it's such an accurate adaptation. And they've just added in these, like, sexy Colin Firth scenes.
And we don't mind.
We're grateful. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I've just got Mr. Collins. Because he's eating.
That must be the noises when he eats.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Lizzie's, like, randomly running around Rosings for a bit. And then Darcy finds her in the gardens. And he's like, I've been wandering around here for some time in the hopes of bumping into you. Please read this letter. And then she reads it. And that's when she says, hateful man. But she's like... Yeah, he says he thought that Jane wasn't into Bingley, to which Lizzie says, insufferable presumption.
Yeah, it's just her, like, reactions to his statement. And I think that's where he also slags off her family again. And I'm just like, Darcy, know when to stop. Like,
he's out of line, but he's right.
He's such a sarky bitch.
And then I've said flashbacks to Cringe Town, which I think is just her reliving all the embarrassing things her family did.
Yeah.
And then he was like, one thing that I am ashamed of doing is concealing from Bingley that Jane was in town. But I've written here, game was in town, because Jane was on the game.
She's getting ready to leave, and, like, Mr. Collins is talking to her, and he's like, oh my God, you must be so grateful. You got to dine at Rosings 11 times. I was like, Jesus Christ, imagine 11 times.
Mariah freaks out about how Lady Catherine says the right way to place gowns is, because she has packed her suitcase in a different way. So she's, like, repacking her suitcase. And this is the thing. You know, we were discussing about the Lucases' like, obsession with, like, social standing and stuff. So, like, Mariah is so, like, in awe of Lady Catherine. Whereas, like, Lizzie doesn't have that. It's like... The Lucases kind of don't have the option to, like, disregard making those kinds of connections.
Yeah, because the thing is, Charlotte is slightly less... Because every time they're going to see Rosings, Mariah gets really excited.
Yeah.
Like, every time they're invited for dinner, she's like, oh my God, yes, yes, yes. And Liz is just like, ugh. Where Charlotte isn't as, like, but I think that's because she's now secure.
And also I think she just knows, she wants to make a good impression. She knows that that's not the right way to do it.
Yeah.
And she's more like Capricorn-y.
Yeah. Oh, we got that coming up.
So then we get to Mr. Collins seeing Lizzie off, and he's like, I do hope that you now realise that, like, since Charlotte's so well settled, that it was actually a very good match for her or something. We seem to have been designed for each other.
Yeah.
Every thought that we have is entirely the same on every subject. And, like, she looks at Charlotte and Charlotte's like,
I don't know. At least, like, you got a guy that likes you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he was ready to like most people.
I don't know. They are kind of suited to each other, though, because this is what Charlotte wants.
Yeah, she just lets him do his thing and she accepts him for his weirdness.
Also, oh God, I don't know what this means. Lol, seeing his head in the fields.
As Lizzie's in the carriage leaving. Yeah, this is what you mean. So she's staring out the window and suddenly Mr. Darcy's face floats into view in the carriage window, which is in front of the fields, like some kind of ghostly apparition, and says, "You must let me tell you how ardently I love you," or whatever it is he says. But like, she just has a vision of his big face in the window.
Oh yes,
I'm just like, this is, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, that's why I was like, what is going on right now? It was a weird cinematic choice.
Yeah, can't deny that.
So Lydia and Kitty meet them at their crossover at Bromley, I think.
Yeah, Lydia's bought another ugly hat.
She's bought an ugly hat.
She's like, "Oh, Lizzie, you'll be really glad to hear that Wickham isn't marrying Mary King." And Lizzie's like, "Yay."
Yeah, that's when she calls Mary King a nasty, freckled little thing.
That's Lydia, not Lizzie.
Yeah. They say, "Aren't you glad that we've come to meet you? It'll make it so much better." And then you just see this shot of the carriage going away and they're just like arguing. And she's having a go at Kitty for her lolloping head.
Poor Kitty, man.
Also, I wrote here that they really push Lydia's boobs up. The other
or maybe woman... Maybe Lydia's pushing her own boobs up.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's like a character choice, but I was like, her boobs are much more on show than the other
female. I feel like that's a signal of her kind of loose morals. Tight titties, loose morals. So Lizzie then asks Jane if she tells her about the Wickham thing. And she says, "Should we tell our acquaintances about it?" And Jane's like, the first promoter of anti-cancel culture, because she's like, "Well, Wickham might be feeling remorse and we shouldn't ruin him if he's trying to like better himself." Oh, like, God. Some people are just shit.
Yeah. Also, this is where Mrs. Bennet is ranting about Bingley leaving Jane, and she can't wait for Jane to die of a broken heart because that will show Bingley.
Yeah, and Lizzie wants to tell her so bad because Jane's like still really sad about Bingley. She's like, "You look so unhappy," and Jane's just like, "I just don't really like Mr. Bingley."
Yeah, she is really sad.
And Lizzie's like, "I want to tell you so bad." But
why doesn't she tell her that?
Because she thinks I think that A, like, she didn't have permission to like share that. And then also she doesn't know if Bingley's over it, so if she just says it, she might be more harm than good.
So Mrs. Foster arrives to say that she's going to take... Well, she writes first to say that she's going to take Lydia to Brighton. Kitty's
Lydia's very excited. Yeah, Kitty can't come. And Lizzie goes and she's like... She says to her dad, like, "Oh, you have no idea how bad this will be for all of us if Lydia goes." Yeah. And he's like, "Lydia will never be easy until she has exposed herself in some public place." And I'm like,
Elizabeth then goes, "She's the most determined flirt that ever made her family ridiculous." And I just think that would be a great epitaph on your grave.
And then Mr. Bennett's just like, "I believe it will all turn out well." Okay, Mr. Bennet.
This is the thing, yeah. Like, so she talks about Jane about Wickham, but why doesn't she just tell her dad about Wickham at this point?
Because she does that, because it would also expose Darcy and Georgiana.
Oh, yes, true. True, true, true.
And then Lizzie says to Wickham that
this is what I realised. She sees Wickham in between finding out and when he runs off with Lydia.
Yeah. Spoiler. So she basically, like, she hints to him that she knows what he's done. Because she's like, she sort of starts off very like smiling, and then she's like, I think she was like, oh yeah, I've been at Rosings. And he's like, oh, I hoped you didn't have to see Mr. Darcy. And she was like, no, I did. But I think he actually improves on further acquaintance. And then he's like, oh, I've been rumbled. Walks off. And she's like, she says out loud, again, just a weird out loud thing. Like, because also she's in a room full of people. She just goes, go, go. I would not wish you back again, as he leaves. And I'm like, just imagine if someone heard you saying that.
Yeah, she does that a lot, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I guess that's artistic license. But anyway, then the gardeners are taking Lizzie to Derbyshire, and they're in the carriage, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we can't go to Derbyshire. No, they were going to go all over the Lake District, but then." They were like, oh, we actually can't. We're just going to go around Derbyshire. We're going to go to Pemberley. So anyway, yeah, Mr. Darcy's fencing, trying to...
I think he's fencing the horn away.
Yeah, he's trying to expel some of that sexual frustration.
And then I think they both are.
It's quite Freudian, really, with the whole, like, sword thing.
Yeah, and it's, like, very clear. He's like, oh, I've got to... I think he literally goes, I must...
I shall conquer this. I shall...
Yeah, that's what he says. And
again, they're made for each other because they both say weird shit like that.
Yeah, and then she's trying to do the same thing when she's like looking around Derbyshire, which is the Peak District is in Derbyshire, so like she's in some like good places. And then she's like, she's trying to be satisfied by rocks and mountains when she just wants that Darcy dick.
She wants that mountain.
She's literally like, look at this beautiful
view. She wants that rock hard mountain.
Oh god. And then obviously, yeah, then they go visit Pemberley.
Yeah, well, because Lizzie's like, that's weird. I don't want to go visit Pemberley. And I think Mrs. Gardner says she heard that the family had gone for the summer. So and they're like, they talk about how the mistress, they're like, I think they arrive and they're like, oh, don't you like that, Lizzie? But then they were like, imagine being mistress of that. And they were like, well, I think that the mistress of Pemberley will have to put up with a great deal. And it's just like, And then, so then they get the tour by Mr. Darcy's housekeeper.
Yeah, who is absolutely obsessed with Mr. Darcy. Like,
absolute class traitor.
That's when we also see these weird Colin Firth portraits, which I think got sold recently, actually. And I just was thinking about how weird is it that rich people get these really rich people, not just like normal rich people, but like the Queen rich people, get these really weird oil paintings done themselves.
Well, the thing is, before photography, that was the only way to like have an image of you for perpetuity.
I understand that a little bit, but it still goes on.
I know. I think it's just a tradition at this point.
This is when I've realised the fountain scene is coming up.
First of all, though, like when they're going through the house, the housekeeper's like, this is where Mrs. Darcy used to write her letters. And I'm like, imagine if someone came and looked at your house while you're on holiday and were like, this is where... Anna writes her emails, and they're just looking at my bed in my studio. Like,
you know what? This is imagine if you did it to like normal people's houses. But I'm just like, that's the kind of thing that people kind of pay to go around the Queen's house.
I know. It's you're
like, look, this is where the Queen. And when you think about it, like when you go to Jane Austen's house in Hertfordshire, they will be like, this is where Jane wrote, and I'm like. It's so weird when you think about it, but it is interesting. Also, so at this point, they're still looking around the house, and we see that Darcy is clearly coming back early because he's riding through the forest in a top hat that is so top. It is so high. Why is it this high?
It is so high. It's a big high hat. Because, well, no, but again, the phallic imagery. Freud would be loving this.
Yeah, like because also they've worn top hats at this point already, but I was like, this one is particularly large. Like, and he's just riding a horse. How do you keep on your head when you're riding a horse? Does he have a little strap like a helmet?
And he rides in and he's like gets off his horse and he like starts stripping off to get in the lake with tears in his eyes.
And this is when I was like, they're honestly so horny for each other and they're both really mad about it.
They're just like, so consumed with horn.
Yeah, they're so angry at how much they find each other sexually attractive.
Yeah.
Like, he literally needs to cool himself down. Also, I realised, is it in a fountain or is it in a lake?
It's in a lake. There's no fountain involved.
Why have I said fountains? I don't know. Why have you got that confused?
Is it because there was a fountain in Lost in Austin when she threw all the paper?
Yeah. He is in the lake. I did write. He is in the lake. He gets out, partially dressed, dripping wet.
Like pacing along with his shirt all open, and he's like carrying his clothes, and then he bumps into Lizzie, and Lizzie's just like, I want to die.
Yeah, and he's like, oh my god, because he's now like a mess. And I was like, oh, he's on the back foot now. Also, I noticed his bowels are less aggressive.
I thought you said his bowels, and I was like, oh, does he has IBS?
He definitely does though. 100%.
He does. Darcy definitely has IBS.
That's why he's so uncomfortable in social.
None of them know that my tummy hurts. I'm being so brave. Is a meme that.
So yeah, he's on the back foot. His bow is less aggressive now. He's much gentler with it.
Maybe that's because he's got a tummy ache and he's trying not to squish it.
Maybe.
He asks twice if her parents are in good health. And you're like, fucking hell, Darcy, come on.
Also, what I find weird is as soon as he sees her again, because like, when she declined him and made all these accusations at him, and when he was writing his letters, he was really angry. And then he sees her again, and he's just like, it's all melted away.
That's because he's horny for her.
Yeah, well, like, Elizabeth is, like, unsure of where they're at. Like, she's really embarrassed because she's at his house and, like, this is a weird thing to
But he's totally, I think he's, like, tried to get over it, like, and then he's come back to Pemberley to, like, you know, have some me time. And he thinks it's totally over with Lizzie. He's like, I'm never going to see her again. And then she's there and he's like, what?
Yeah, and he just really steps up, doesn't he? Well, he tries to talk to her and he mentions...
Well, because he's had all this time to reflect on what she said to him and he thinks, oh, well, I've totally fucked it and it doesn't matter if I improve myself because she hates me and it's never going to be. And then he's like, wait a second. I've also written in my notes, Lizzie is mortified and horny.
Yeah, she is. She's so embarrassed.
And then she literally runs away.
Yeah, she basically go grabs her aunt and uncle and is like, we have to leave now. Where he's like getting changed really quickly and he's like trying to run down to catch her.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really sweet.
It's so cute.
Like, he wants to impress her. He wants to show her that she's changed.
Yeah.
And he like runs down and he like starts talking to her family. Like, it just, I don't know, he's kind of putting the charm on because he knows that's what she likes.
Yeah, well, he's like, he just wants to be, he wants to show that he can actually be nice.
Yeah, so he, like, starts talking to Mr. and Mrs. Gardner and is like, oh, do you like fishing? You've got to come fishing, like, and all of this. And he just kind of starts, like, conversing and, like, getting involved with her family and making social arrangements with them and stuff. And it's really cute. And then I think... he says that he's going to visit her in the inn that they're staying in. And, like, he's just really trying. And then, obviously...
I mean, like, he asks about her family being in good health twice because he's trying to show that he is not disparaging her family anymore.
Yeah. Oh, it's just quite cute. And then she gets in the carriage to go, and it's the freeze frame. Every time it gets me when it ends an episode.
Yeah. No, but first he asks her if she likes Pemberley. And he's like, do you approve of it? And she's like, I doubt that anyone would disapprove of Pemberley. And he's like, no, but your good opinion is, like, very important to me or something. He's like, oh, it's hard to get and therefore it's more important.
Yeah, he's flirting. He's making a...
And he's smiling. He's doing his little cheeky Colin Firth smile.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. In this scene, like, obviously, the lake scene is like very attractive, but I think the after scene is actually really attractive.
Also, yes.
Like, where he's, what's more attractive than a man trying to impress your family for you? Like,
yes, agree.
It's like, he's like, oh, this means a lot to her. I need to make sure. Like, he's also making it known to her that he's still trying with her.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? He's like, he's still interested.
Yeah.
Even if, but he's also, yeah, I just don't know. It's in such a respectful way, and that is so hot.
Yeah. Just be respectful. They start talking about horse chestnuts. And he's like, ah, oh, when I was a boy, I used to run to Lampton, because they're like, where are you staying? And they're staying in Lampton, which is where Mrs. Gardner used to live. And he's like, I used to run to Lampton as a boy in horse chestnut season.
I'm like, yeah, that was, and also he just, yeah, like, that's the thing. He suddenly becomes like an engaging conversationalist.
Yeah, and kind of being more vulnerable, like talking about his childhood and stuff. Because yeah. He's totally got a wall up, and then the wall kind of comes down because he realizes he has to be vulnerable in order to like have intimacy.
Look at you.
There, every corner with Anna.
Psychoanalyzing Mr. Darcy.
Well, what else is this for, if not that?
You not think as well, actually, to go deep, Wickham's betrayal made him put those walls up.
Yes. Hard agree.
Wickham, because obviously he seemed to have good relationships with his parents.
Yeah.
But it seems Wickham's betrayal, particularly as they were just good boyhood friends,
yeah.
And then, but the ultimate betrayal of Georgiana is what made him shut down.
Yeah. And then he's like, it's all about propriety, because like the way that his kind of being obsessed with propriety is like a way to protect his father's good name, and then B, because Georgiana nearly did something that like cost the family their like reputation. Oh, and he says to Lizzie that would she come for dinner, because it's like, oh, Mr. Bingley and his sisters are coming. And then he's like, actually, there's one person that would like to meet you. Can I introduce you to my sister Georgiana?
I know. She's like,
yeah, okay. And it's like, ah.
So that was the end of episode 4. I'm quite looking forward to episode 5 and 6 now.
Yeah, sorry we didn't release an episode last week.
Yeah.
We were tired.
We were both really tired. And it was burnt out from work. This is the end. Bye. Bye.
Bye.